Jennifer Albin, thanks for coming into KBIA to chat with us.
Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us about how Cruel came about? How did you get the idea for this while you were studying?
I think that the impetus for the novel came from a painting that's referenced in Thomas Pynchon's The Crying of Lot 49. In that book, the main character sees a Spanish surrealist painting, and it's called Embroidering the Earth's Mantle by Remedios Varo, and she describes it in detail. And I ended up doing some graduate seminar work on it and some undergraduate work on it as well. But in the painting, there are girls sitting in a tower, and they are all embroidering. And through the center of the tower, threads are coming up. And then in the background, two figures are kind of watching over them. But what they're embroidering is going out the windows of the tower and covering the world and creating the world. And I just loved this image of these girls doing the work to create the world. And what did that say? And one day I saw the book on my bookshelf and I sat down and I wrote a prologue from the point of view of a girl who was going to be taken to do the work in the tower. So that was really the spark of it. I had no idea where it was going or really what her story was at that point.
Did you have any idea at that point that you would be writing a novel, a young adult novel? Or did you just think there's a really interesting voice that goes with this image and this idea and I just need to explore it right now?
Well, at that point, I was working on a different novel, and I call it the novel that went nowhere because I kept like rewriting the same 50 pages and I had no clue where it was going. And so when that hit me, I sort of immediately knew, it kind of came in a burst. I sort of immediately knew that this was what I was meant to be working on, that it was something that was going to be worth my time. And it was tremendous. Like, I never finished a novel before, but I was able to sort of push forward and dedicate myself to this particular novel in a way I hadn't been. But I think I was just so curious about these characters and their story that that worked out.
What do you hope that your readers get from the story?
Well, I'd like them to have a multi-layered experience, if that makes any sense. On the surface level, I'd like to believe that it's an entertaining story that has good dialogue and interesting characters, and the plot moves along. It's fairly fast-paced. So that someone who wants to just sit down and read a good yarn can, no pun intended, can actually just sit down and have an escapist moment. But for someone who wants to go in and look at themes like feminism and gender identity and, you know, the dynamics of power within society, that they can actually pick it apart for those things too. So it can kind of, it's almost a choose your own adventure. Do you want the deep reading? Do you want the fun reading? My hope was that you could have both. I think that's the academic in me.
Did you, you know, a lot of writers say that they write the kind of books that they wanted to read. And it sounds like you have written that with different levels because you were studying English literature right while you were here. So it's probably, do you feel like you wrote the book that you would have liked to have read, when, especially when you were a young adult?
I think so. I think it's the book I would have liked to have read. I have a writing partner who always says, when was the last time you sat down and read your book and just enjoyed it? And I always look at her and say, never, because it's work to me. I can't divorce myself from it. But it's got all the elements, and I'm fairly proud of it. So I think yes, it's the book I would like to have read when I was a teenager.
Jennifer, when you're writing something like this that you say can be experienced on different levels and is multidimensional and does kind of have messages that you're getting across, how aware and conscious of you are you of this as a writer while you're writing? When you're writing, are you just in the world, or do you have a little bit looking over your shoulder saying, oh, I wonder what my English professor would think of this, or what would my friends think of this? Do you ignore those voices, or do you sort of incorporate them into the writing as you go?
I think that for me, with first drafts, they are very much plots and figuring out what the character arc is for each of the characters. And then when I go back in, I start layering in world building. And in this case, world building really is tied up with the thematic elements. So as the world becomes more clear to me, it just becomes more natural that I add in all of these political and power dynamics. So it's not something that I'm terribly conscious of, but occasionally I do think, I need to go through and strengthen this thread when I'm in revisions and add a few more thoughts from her about whatnot. And usually that comes from my editor saying, I like where you're going with this, but you need to go there a little bit more. So, no, I guess I never feel like someone's over my shoulder going, are you hitting that theme right? But
you're really just listening to the voice of the characters.
Right. Yeah.
Seeing where they take you.
Yes, and they go weird places. I should listen to them most of the time.
One can only hope. Well, Jennifer, your book is really interesting to talk about in its own right, but around here at MUIR, you're really interesting to talk with, and I've heard a lot about you because you're kind of a success story for us as someone who was studying, going about life, and just started writing. As I've heard the story, you were literally writing at the library, saving it on a flash drive as you went. And so that's a real testimony to someone who just writes for the love of it and because you have a story that's come to life for you. What would you say about that experience, how your life has changed in the past year, and also what advice do you give to people just kind of writing and that haven't been recognized yet?
Oh, the old, what advice will you give? My life has changed tremendously in the last, 2 years really since I started writing it. I had left graduate school because my husband lost his job and we had to move to Kansas City to try to find something. It was kind of the beginning of the economic collapse. And we got to a point where we just had nothing. And I decided to start writing a novel after some prompting from my mother-in-law. And I really got into it at some point. And I started to feel more confident. Like I was using the degrees that I had towards something in my field. Whereas, I mean, I couldn't get a job as a secretary in Kansas City 3 years ago. There just was nothing. So there was some power in that. But I think also that finding the voice of the novel and starting to write that reminded me that words have power, that our words have power. They have power to entertain and influence and, you know, empathize with people and persuade people. All of those things you talk about when you're teaching classes. I had forgotten that until I started to write again. So I suppose my advice would be to someone who wanted to write that the only thing you have to do to be a writer, literally the only thing you have to do, is write. And you'd be surprised how many people want to be a writer, and that's the thing that they can't make themselves do. And believe me, I understand that now that I'm on the other side being an author and traveling as much as I do.
Because it's getting harder for you to write.
There are days when the last thing I want to do is write, or when it just feels like it's the lowest priority, but my primary job is to write. So my advice is always, well, if you want to be a writer, you have to write. And people stare at you a little bit like you're crazy, but it's true.
Like Mark Twain said, right? The writing is the art of applying the seat of one's pants to the seat of a chair.
That is absolutely true.
So how do you do that these days then? How are you working it in with your big life now?
Probably less successfully than I would like to believe. It's funny, there's definitely a sense of imbalance in my life at most times, just because you will go from being away for a week on book tour to having to turn something in the next week. So I've learned a lot of coping methods, but also I have a very supportive spouse who has gone ahead and he's now staying home with our children because they're very young, 5 and almost 3. So it was really not possible to work this insane travel schedule and have him going. He was working at Starbucks and he was going to work at 4:30 in the morning and who was going to be with the kids when I was out of town. So that's really helped. I think that going right along with knowing to write is to have someone in your life, whether it's a friend or a spouse or a partner or a teacher, who is very, very supportive of your writing and who reminds you to get it done. Like, that is huge for me. So I would say that really I get it done because of him, because he'll push me out the door eventually and say, you have to go work.
Well, congratulations on all the success that's happened to you and your family. Thanks for coming into KBIA.
Thank you.